Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Between the Posts podcast. After doing some preview stuff, we are now back with our post-match podcasts. And in this pod, we will discuss Juventus versus Lyon. With me here is KT Stockwell, also of Between the Posts. KT, welcome.
Eric, thanks for having me again.
So, huge, monumental win for Lyon. Juventus are out. Quick reaction?
A pretty exciting match, a pretty dynamic match. A lot of shifts, a lot of changes, a lot of little tactical details that were fun to look at and examine. I mean, ultimately, disappointment for Juventus and elation for Lyon.
Top. Well, let's get right into it. Before we start, let's make it clear. I did not watch the match. I had Real against City on. I did a post-match podcast about that with Jose. You can listen to that as well. Should be in your podcast player as well. I did watch the last 5 or 10 minutes of this match on the second screen, but more or less it will be drawing from the things you saw. And Lyon started in their, more or less trademark 5-3-2 formation now. The big difference with the first leg is that now Memphis Depay is back in the squad. He started up front with, surprisingly, Toko Ekambi, even though we know Dembele might have been the most consistent striker this season for Lyon. Why do you think Toko Ekambi was fielded next to Depay and not Dembele?
Yeah, I think Garcia was hoping that Toko Ekambi would stretch play a little bit more than Dembele would. He can be sometimes more of a hold-up player. In the first leg, actually, it was Toko Ekambi and Dembele. And Dembele did a very good job of hounding Bonucci. And I think, as well, Toko Ekambi did a good job of staying on De Ligt and getting on top of those defenders. I guess in this particular instance, Garcia was just looking to get Memphis Depay in there. He is the club captain, and he's pretty dynamic. And he was probably looking to get his skill on the ball, especially in transition.
Yeah, and I thought Dembele also tried to play in the same spaces as Depay, maybe. So maybe Dembele is the better player, but Toko Ekambi is the better partner for Depay. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And especially in the Coupe de la Ligue final, when Dembele and Memphis Depay played, they kind of did that exact same thing. They ended up operating in the same sort of zones and stepping on each other's toes a lot. So The fact that Toko Ekambi can come in and he's probably more willing to just work off Depay was something that Garcia was hoping for.
Well, Lyon play with 5 defenders, as we just mentioned it. From right to left, those were Dubois, Marcelo, Denayer, Marçal, and Cornet, the left back, who's normally a left attacker, but now played left back. And the midfield trio where you have been raving about, KT. Tell the listeners, what is the midfield trio of Lyon and why is it so special?
Yeah, the midfield trio is Maxence Caqueré. He's a 20-year-old that came out of the Lyon Academy. With him playing the sort of nominal 6 role is Bruno Guimaraes. And then on the other side is Houssem Aouar. And they're just a really young, interesting, vibrant midfield. They have great ball retention. They're good pressing. I think they're a little bit underrated in Europe.
Sure. Well, about Juventus, big blow for them. Dybala not fit to start. Their best player this season, Paulo Dybala. How did they operate? Was it a 4-3-3? Was it a 4-4-2? How did they play?
I saw it as a 4-3-3 with Higuain filling the role of Dybala, sort of playing that nominal false 9 position. Mm-hmm. And then they had Bernadeschi on the right, and he was hugging the touchline, very much playing as a right winger. And then obviously Ronaldo on the left, but he had a lot of freedom to drift inside and even switch positions with Higuain as it was to his liking.
Yes, and behind that, the midfield trio of Pjanic, Bentancur, and Rabiot, and 4 defenders, Alexandro, Leo Bonucci, Matthijs de Ligt, and Cuadrado. So no really big surprises up there. Then the match starts, and how did the match start? What was the tactical pattern of the game in the first half?
The match started out, I thought Juve looked pretty good, and Lyon looked willing to sit off right from the get-go. They really looked like they were going to spend 90 minutes telling Juve, okay, you got to come and break down a low block. So they sat in what's become kind of typical for them in a 5-3-2 or a 5-4-1 with this sort of diamond in midfield where they look to sort of close off Pjanic. They get the diamond around Pjanic and try to stop balls coming into him so he can't dictate play. I thought to start early on, Juve did a good job of getting through this. And one of the ways that they were able to do that was through rotations between Rabiot, Ronaldo, and Sandro on the left side. So Léo Dubois, who was the right-sided wing back for Lyon, was drawn up to take on Sandro. And then Rabiot was pushing up really high, getting all the way to the front line so that he could engage Denayer. And at that point, Ronaldo would drop back and be able to receive the ball. Or Ronaldo would then push forward on Denayer. Rabiot would move to the flank and draw Denayer away from Ronaldo, which would give him the space to kind of attack the front post and engage Marcelo, which I think was the matchup that Sarri was the most interested in creating. Mm-hmm. Marcelo's a little older. He's a little slower. I think of the three in the back line, there's an argument that maybe he's their weakest center back. So the idea of trying to get Ronaldo on him seemed to be pretty consistent throughout the 90 minutes.
Yeah, so if I listened to you correctly, their initial plan was to shut off Pjanic, and that was executed well, but then Juve were kind of successful in playing through the left around that.
Yeah, I think so. And they did have a few chances, mostly stemming from sort of putting those balls into the box to Ronaldo, who was charging at that front post. We saw it a lot in the first leg where you kind of ended up just putting the balls out to the wing and then knocking them into the box and sort of challenging those Lyonnais defenders to go up and beat Ronaldo in the air.
Yes. So after 12 minutes, we have, just as in the other game, an early goal. What happened? A penalty kick and Depay scored it? What happened?
Yeah, they played some pretty good combination stuff outside the box, and the ball ends up in the feet of Aouar, who gets tackled by Betancourt. To be honest, I didn't think it was a penalty. Betancourt, I thought, got the ball first pretty clearly and then ended up taking Aouar out as a consequence of that. Ultimately, all that aside, Depay did get a penalty, and he put a pretty nice Panenka pass to that.
Yeah, a huge confidence boost for Lyon, of course. How did the match look after that first 12 minutes?
Well, Eric, it looked a lot like the first leg in that Lyon got the goal. Mm-hmm. They must have thought, this is it. We've done our job. And they went and they sat back and they again invited Juventus to come and beat them. And I thought for the most part, they were pretty good at stemming Juventus and keeping them away from any real big scoring opportunities. Of course, that did change in the 43rd minute when Juventus were granted a penalty. It came off a Memphis Depay handball. Memphis was actually in the ball at the time during a free kick, and which was driven straight at him. He had his hands in front of his body, but you know, I digress. I don't know if we want to go too deep into the handball rule today. Ultimately, Ronaldo stepped up and he scored.
Yeah, I did some ranting on the current handball rule a couple of weeks ago in our podcast of Atalanta against Juventus. That game was totally destroyed by the handball rule and doesn't make sense at all in its current form. But thanks to the handball rule, it was 1-1 at halftime. In the entire first half, how and where did most of Juve's attacks break down? Like why were they not successful? Why did Lyon keep them out so relatively easily?
For me, there's just so little movement along that Juve front line. There's almost never any runners going in behind to challenge the Lyonnais defense. I mean, we're talking about a Lyonnais center back trio of Jason Denayer, Marcelo, and Marçal, who's actually a converted fullback. Still, you never saw Juventus really run at them and make them try and work. It was so static and really it lacked any dynamism.
So you say maybe Bernadeschi played a bad role in that. Who tried to keep the width on the left with Ronaldo coming inside? Was that Alexandro or Rabiot?
It was Sandro holding the width on the left and Bernadeschi on the right. I mean, most of their promising stuff, as I said, came from Rabiot and Ronaldo combining. But outside of that little movement on the left-hand side, there really wasn't much else to speak of. I was especially disappointed with Betancourt, who just didn't seem to fill that space between Bernadeschi and Higuain, who was sort of responsible for pinning those center backs.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw this stat on Twitter, and you shouldn't believe anything that's on Twitter, but I saw this stat that Juventus had lost 10 matches this season, of which 8 have come against teams that play with 5 defenders and 3 central defenders. So I haven't researched it. It could be untrue, but if I looked at the first leg in Lyon in February and the recent game of Juventus against Atalanta, they seem to have a hard time to properly occupy that channel between the center back and the fullback. Was that as play again here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, I thought they were doing a decent job of it on the left side. They just didn't exploit that space nearly enough to my liking. Yeah. On the right side, that almost never happened.
Yeah. Well, we go into the second half then, and at this moment, Lyon lead on aggregate 2-1. I can imagine that at that point, they were just like, we're going to sit back in our 5-3-2 formation, just let them come. Maybe we can counterattack for a little bit, but not too much ambition on that front, I think. Is that correct? Like, that would be my approach.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I think this was the first real slip-up that Rudy Garcia had in the fixture. Juventus came out and they looked possessed. They looked like they were ready to score. And I thought Garcia was a little bit slow to react, especially considering that they were starting to make inroads again, like I said, on that left side. And Léo Dubois, that right wing back, looked really hung out to dry and unable to really stick with his marker. He was oftentimes coming too far inside, either following Ronaldo, following Rabiot, following Sandro, and leaving tons of space open. So Juventus did look like they were starting to build something. And then in the 60th minute, Ronaldo hits this rocket of a shot from outside the box, and it gets past Anthony Lopez to give Juventus the 2-1 lead. My opinion, Lopez probably should have made this save. He did get a hand to it, but he just wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, it was actually Juve's first shot of the half I saw on one of those stats websites. So it's fair to say that they didn't create anything, and then out of the blue, Ronaldo came with his rocket and made it a level game?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Ronaldo looked like, for the duration of the 90, he was really just trying to drag Juventus to the finish line and get them into the next round.
That's quite remarkable then. I think I'll rewatch this match tomorrow, but Juventus coming out of halftime really needing a goal and then not taking one shot, and then the first shot they take is from 25 yards out and it's in.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. I think in a lot of ways it's sort of a microcosm for Juventus's season, where you have enough talent on the pitch and seemingly a manager that's capable of producing good offensive moments and rotations and movements, and it just doesn't seem to ever come off. I don't know if tonight, I mean, obviously Dybala was a big miss, and maybe that's part of the reason why they could never really seem to get anything going. It was just so slow and so lethargic and just lacking really any sort of incisive play, especially from any of the front three, besides, you know, Ronaldo and his miracle shot.
Yeah, well, I will say two things about that. First, they missed their best creative player in Dybala, and that's a hit for every team, not only the caliber of Dybala, but if you miss your best creative player, that's always a hit. And two, you know, it's the first season. Nowadays, we are so quick, maybe us as well, between the posts, but in general, the bigger media, always so quick to say, it has to work immediately. We have seen with Sarri that at Napoli, he put together a fantastic team. For the hipsters that are listening, they know the Empoli team he coached was really good as well a couple of years before. It was destroying a lot of the Serie A teams with really good passing football. So I'm more of the give Sarri some time. And, you know, we all enjoy Gasperini and Bergamo. We all enjoy them so much now. But they are already in the third or fourth season. So just give them some time. And I think they'll be okay. But if we zoom in on this match again, yeah, you don't have time now in this match because you have to win now. And last half hour, the two-legged fixture being tied 2-2, but Lyon having scored one away goal and Juventus having scored zero, Juve needing a goal. Did they have a plan B, or was it just passing around at the back even more than they did earlier? Or did they try to change something?
You know, they brought on Ramsey, I think, in the hope that he would give them that thrust from midfield, especially on the right side that they were missing throughout the match. But in all honesty, didn't look like they had very many answers. And then Garcia made a pretty bold change in around the 70th minute when the second water break came, and he took off both Memphis and Toko Akambi and brought on Moussa Dembele and Jeff Rennes-Adelaide and switched to a 4-2-3-1 formation. And in that formation, Lyon started to actually enjoy more possession and more offensive chances.
Oh, that was a good move then. How do you qualify Lyon's counter-attacking in the second half before the switch? Was it, could they get out? How was their transition game from defense to offense?
It was poor for sure. Right. I think they looked tired, and especially Memphis and Toko Ekambi, they looked tired and they couldn't really get on the ball long enough to make anything substantial happen. They really were defending for their lives at that point.
Yeah. This match was also, of course, a bit about the debate between Juventus have match fitness because the Serie A was completed in a regular way, but Lyon maybe have a bit more mental freshness because they were out for 5 months. So did you see anything of that? Like, could you see that back as well? Like the difference between the two teams?
Not so much, I wouldn't say, which is probably a bit of a credit to Lyon, who, you know, this is only their second competitive fixture that they've played in 5.5 months. So there's always going to be some rust. But I thought for the most part, besides the front two, who were forced to do a lot of the heavy lifting of chasing balls down without really any reward, the rest of the team held out pretty well. I mean, Jason Denaire went off, I'm assuming, with an injury in the 60th minute. But besides that, I thought Lyon held well physically.
Yeah, and you say the transition to a 4-2-3-1 formation really paid dividends for them.
Yeah, huge dividends. You know, I think Lyon ultimately are probably more comfortable in this formation. This is probably closer to what you would expect them to play domestically, where really the responsibility is on them to own possession and dictate how the match is going to play out. So once they got into this 4-2-3-1 formation, it looked like they really grew in confidence. What it also did was it brought Kakare deeper to play alongside Guimaraes and put Aouar in sort of the nominal, let's say, 10 position, and Adelaide off the right where he's really comfortable. And I think one of the biggest byproducts of this is they started to be able to match Juventus a little bit better in midfield. And so they chase balls down a little bit more easily and create overloads. Whereas before, operating with that three and having Juventus have players drop off from that front line, they were often outnumbered and couldn't really develop any sort of possession style.
How did the last 20 minutes of the game look then, when Juve were desperately looking for a goal, Lyon in their new formation? How did the last 20 minutes look?
I was actually really impressed with Lyon in the last 20 minutes. I thought it was going to be sort of all guns blazing. Juventus would have a series of chances and, you know, get really close to winning this fixture. But actually, what played out in the final 20 minutes was Lyon looking confident. And I thought probably having their best extended spell of the 90.
I'll be really honest with you. The Real Madrid City game was like done in the last 10 minutes. So on my laptop, I put up a stream. I watched the last 10, 15 minutes. I did not see one good Juventus chance. Not one. I saw some free kicks, some set pieces. I saw Ronaldo obviously shooting a free kick in the wall. But I did not see one clear-cut chance, not even a half chance. So in that aspect, I think, yeah, it's quite disappointing. All the stuff you said earlier about Juventus not being able to break down defenses. And I thought their plan B was maybe the last 5-6 minutes to play with Matthijs de Ligt as a third striker next to Higuain and Ronaldo. Yeah, then you know how desperate they were.
Yeah, exactly. I think you basically nailed it there. Besides lumping the ball up and hoping that sort of the big body of De Ligt or Ronaldo in the air could get on it, it didn't seem like they had much of an idea about what they could do to create quality chances.
Yeah, so all in all, if we look over 180 minutes, Lyon progress, can we say, maybe whisper it, but they progressed deservedly? They were the better team in this two-legged affair?
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, some people might gripe that they played really defensively and they never really opened themselves up, but Lyon had a game plan over the two legs and I thought they executed it well. Whereas Juventus obviously didn't do as good of a job executing their game plan. And I think in that sense, it's fair to say that Lyon deserved to go through.
Best player of the game for you?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I thought Kakare was the best player of the game for me. He's only 20 years old. This was his first fixture in Europe. He ended up playing three different positions in midfield. So he played that right of the three. He played in a double pivot, and he actually played it on the left side in the 4-2-3-1. So for me, that's pretty impressive for your first time in the Champions League against a team like Juventus. I'll give it to Kakare.
Yes, and Lyon will now face Manchester City. So that's interesting. As I said in the other podcast as well, it is now even more difficult to predict the Champions League because it's over 90 minutes without a crowd. Like, basically everything can happen. Now, we're not going to talk about in percentage, but do you give Lyon a chance at all against City in their current form? Like, I don't know, it's Champions League knockout, 90 minutes. They could pull it off, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, whatever, one game, 90 minutes. If you can do the job, you can. There's potential to get through. I mean, I think the chances are low, but they're definitely there. And Lyon, they have nothing to lose, you know?
Well, anyway, we'll make another podcast about that when that game comes around. Let's hope the Juventus board gives Sarri time, right? Because what I said earlier, I know they have gotten 83 points this season. That's not a lot for their standards. They have conceded a lot of goals. Their expected goal numbers do not look good. But why don't we give this man a bit more time? He's a proven good manager. I would think it would be typically of this time to expect a manager who has a squad that is not fit for his style of play to immediately turn it around in one season. That just seems unrealistic to me.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There's a lot of gaps in this squad that even if Sarri is not the manager and it's someone else, potentially, let's say, more practical, I think they're probably still dealing with a lot of the same problems. You know, I don't really know who the fullbacks are on this team. You've got Juan Cuadrado playing at right back. I don't really think that's his best position. You've got Danilo playing serious minutes for Juventus throughout the year. You've got a midfield that, I mean, they've got Rabiot and Ramsey on a free, and now they're sending Pjanic out. So it's not like they've really stacked key areas of the lineup. I think maybe we have too high expectations for Sarri and what he was supposed to get done this season.
Yeah, well, maybe the first season, winning the league, getting to the Coppa d'Italia final, and okay, it's still disappointing that you go out against Lyon, but still, going out in the first round of a knockout, it's not so bad, but nobody will ever make that argument if you have Ronaldo on your team. Nobody will ever make that argument. Well, if you look at the facts, at his style of play and the squad he has to work with, he has not been dealt a good hand, let me say it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question is going to be how well can Sarri and Ronaldo coexist? Because obviously Ronaldo's not going anywhere. And I actually don't think Sarri's going anywhere anytime soon. So is there a way that they can go out and find some other players that can work well in a system that maybe is more suited to Sarri's style, but also includes Ronaldo? They have a big challenge on their hands, I think.
Yeah, well, for now, we won't talk about them on the podcast anymore because they're out, but we will keep an eye on Lyon, that's for sure. KT, thanks a lot. I think you will cover a match for the website Written Report next week or not?
I'm not sure yet, but I certainly hope so.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe PSG.
Yeah, I should make the planning a bit earlier, maybe. No, that's a joke. Thanks a lot for listening. Between the Post is a website about football tactics and stats. We make somewhere between 7 or 13 match reports per week on Europe's top 5 leagues. And obviously, we also do Champions League and Europa League football in the upcoming weeks. Yeah, all the match will be covered in written match reports. Go check out our website, betweenthepost.net. KT, thanks a lot for being on the show, and we will see you next time.
Thanks a lot for having me, Eric. It was great to be here.
Thanks, KT. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.